Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Markowitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your host throughout the week. Be sure to check out our website, kereport.com or Corlin Economics Report for your podcast provider, where you can listen to our daily market and metals commentary, as well as this full weekend show. We are kicking off this show with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Mike joins us on a regular basis to really outline market factors that have him adjusting his model portfolio, as well as what he sees really driving these markets forward. And one thing we should touch on here, Mike, early on in 2022 and really the tail end of last year, we are seeing this rotation, which is common in these markets. The last couple of years has been all about rotation within the equity markets, but the rotation we're seeing now is out of growth into value. Let's start there. What are your thoughts? How sustainable is this rotation?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it really has been kind of a lot of fireworks in a short period of time here, right around the New Year's. You talk about some of those sectors that were in favor rapidly falling out of favor, and those sectors that were out of favor rapidly falling into favor. I saw an interesting stat that kind of said that the first couple trading days of this year, the Russell 1000 Growth Index underperformed the Russell 1000 Value Index by its biggest margin since 1995. Another interesting stat was that energy and financial stocks, which are typically lower PE value type names versus growth, had the best start to a year ever. Now, you know, we're only talking about a couple of days, so you don't want to extrapolate for too long here. But what you're seeing is I think probably something that does have some legs for 2022. And that's because people see the Fed starting to move off the sidelines. This is the year where the Fed is getting serious about potentially hiking a couple times at least. This is a Fed that is realizing it really screwed up on the inflation outlook and is trying to rapidly get back on sides with its policy mix. And what we've seen historically when that happens is that companies that are basically valued off of the idea of revenue down the road, or the idea that they might make, you know, whatever X dollars of profit, but it won't happen for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. As interest rates go up, or even fear of interest rates goes up, the value of those companies comes into question. Anything that happens to the discount rate that you discount future earnings back to the present, which is kind of gobbledygook in the industry for saying, I think you're going to make a bunch of money down the road, but I have to price some risk into that in the present day and what I'm going to pay for your stock. As rates go up or fear of rising rates happens, you pay less now for every future dollar of potential profit. So what you're seeing is all those companies that are sort of winging a prayer, no business plan, losing gobs of money now because supposedly we're all going to be driving EVs or, you know, taking flights to the moon or whatever down the road. Those are the kinds of companies that are getting crushed. Your SPACs, your money losing EV companies, you know, those types of names, and a lot of sort of second and third tier technology stocks are getting killed. Whereas money comes out of those kinds of names, it's going into more of your traditional cyclical and value type stocks. You know, I mentioned energy, I mentioned financials. You're seeing it to some degree in even some real estate, basic materials, industrials, that kind of thing. Companies that, you know, people can look at the market environment, look at what's going on with Omicron and say, all right, this isn't going to lead to those widespread spread shutdowns we had in the past. We do have a Fed that's looking to probably be raising interest rates a few times. In that environment, where the economy is improving, rates are going up, but they're not soaring, you can take money out of that riskier stuff and start buying companies that have true intrinsic value, that can make money in a stronger economy, and that don't face as much risk from that rising rate threat. And all of that combined has kind of led to some really big moves in the short term, and probably moves that, you know, they're going to cool off not too long from now. But I do think that they're, you know, longer term, that this is a theme that's probably going to play out for, you know, the next couple of quarters at least.
Yeah, Mike, you set the table well there, because we've seen a rotation out of a lot of really what was the hot money. You mentioned some of those second and third tier technology companies, a lot of the Cathie Wood's ARK Innovation Funds. Look at what happened with some of the the movement into the meme stocks, and those have kind of cratered. So a lot of people are getting a little bit more defensive and going after some of those things like the materials. Consumer staples have done well, things like Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Ford, you know, household names. People are rotating into safer names. But you brought up energy. I'd love to get your thoughts on your outlook for 2022 in energy. We've got oil that had an amazing year last year, then sold off very hard the second part of the year, but now it's back up at $80 for crude oil. So what do you make of the energy markets here, Mike?
Sure. Well, I guess I'll start with the first part of your comments and talk a little about the meme stocks. I mean, you have companies like AMC, the movie chain. It was trading for $70 back in the summer. It's trading for about $20 now. You talk about the ARK fund, it topped out at what, $160, the ARK ETF. Now it's going for 80 and change. I mean, these are, and even you look at kind of like a Robinhood, this is a hot IPO, the brokerage firm that people are trading a lot, people with not very much money are trading all kinds of options and shares in these kinds of companies. You know, right after its IPO, that stock went to like almost $85. Last check recently was at 15 and change. So, you're not talking about small moves in some of this high beta, high risk stuff. These kind of companies are really getting crushed, but to shift gears. So again, if you were playing around in that sort of part of the market, it was fun while it lasted, but the Fed's got your number. It's not working. And I don't think it's going to work at all going forward. It's kind of what I always say. It's sort of like the wrong stocks for the wrong point in the market cycle. Whereas if you bring up something like energy, it's funny, everybody wants to talk about tech, but if you look at 2021 returns by sector, tech wasn't actually the best part of the S&P. For 2021, energy, the energy sector in the S&P had the best performance of any sector, just under 48% gains. It's not like tech did poorly. It was up 33%. But again, that outperformance by energy was very noteworthy. And, heading into this year, if you talk about an improving economy, you talk about a market that is still somewhat supply constrained, you talk about a U.S. environment where, politically speaking, sort of the policy is still leaning against exploration, drilling, production, all that kind of stuff. Politically speaking, the environment is pretty hostile towards traditional energy and really trying to move everything towards solar and wind and alternatives and so on. So in that environment where we're not drilling like crazy and we're not trying to encourage drilling, what do you think is going to happen? It's generally going to lead to higher prices. And again, if not just a great 2021, but in the early days of 2022, things like the XLE, the benchmark ETF for the energy sector, broke out nicely, and it's trading at its highest level in about 2 years. So again, I think, you've got a lot of catalysts for that more traditional, industrial, heavy materials, cyclical stuff, energy, and so on. I think you've got a pretty good backdrop for pricing and a pretty good backdrop for those stocks. So I think that definitely that's an area that as an investor, you want to be looking at, especially when you layer on top of that, the fact that this big tech money is going to be looking for a home. The overall dominance in the S&P by technology stocks, they make up far and away the largest, the largest sort of weighting in the S&P versus things like energy or even, precious metals or base metals and so on. So if even a few percentage points of that tech money come out and try and buy energy stocks instead and to capitalize on this rotation, it could have a lot of legs. So I think that's a good place to be.
Mike, how worried do we have to be that this rotation stops and instead of rotating money within the markets, we see money broadly exit the markets?
It's interesting. If you look at past Federal Reserve hiking cycles and times when they've basically tipped from, the first part of that cycle to the end days where it really causes a disaster for financial markets, it takes a while for that all to filter through. There used to be an old slogan, was it 3 steps and a stumble, meaning after the third Fed hike, that's when the markets would stumble. You're already seeing some volatility just before we've even gotten the first official rate hike, which the interest rate markets are kind of looking at in the March timeframe maybe now. I don't think we're at that breaking point for markets overall, given what's happening with policy. But I would say, and it's a point we've talked about before, the economy and the markets can't handle anywhere near the interest rate levels that we had in past cycles. With house prices so much higher, with PE ratios so much higher, with bonds of all kinds trading at such low yields and so on, it would take a much lower increase in interest rates, a much smaller increase in interest rates to basically break the economy and the markets. And since something can't really happen, I don't think it will. In other words, this Fed cycle, I would be extremely surprised if the Fed funds rate got into the 2% range in this cycle. I think it might barely get into what I'd call a one handle, you know, a Fed funds rate between 1 and 1.99%. And that's much, much lower than we had even in the last cycle. And compared to some of what we saw in the 80s and 90s, it's miles away from it. But that's not an accident, right? You pile more debt on top of an economy, you have much more debt that you have to pay back, and it only takes a small increase in interest rates before that sort of breaks your budget. You can't afford those debt payments. So with that overhang, we're just not going to see what we saw in the past. Long story short, I think that you probably don't need to worry about the Fed crushing the market until maybe the back end of this year or into next year, depending on what happens. So I'm not overly worried. I'm more concerned if you're in the wrong stocks, you're in the wrong sectors at the wrong time. You're going to, you know, you might see a short-term break from the hammering that just happened, but let's spread it out over the first half of the year. You probably want to go with this rotation rather than try and fight it.
Well, Mike, just along the lines of the Fed starting their rate hiking cycle, to your point, you know, at the very beginning, it's probably not going to break the market. Most people are pricing in about 3 rate hikes in 2022 and then looking at another 3 to 4 for 2023. Nobody really knows where the breaking point is going to be. But what is your outlook for how the Fed is going to be hiking into what could be an economy that's slowing down to some degree? I mean, there's the theory that it's reopening, but there's also the worries that it's not reopening. So could they be starting these rate hikes at a time where eventually, after a series of hikes, it does impact the markets and they get a breaking point and have to reverse course?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at one of the key things that helped the economy do so well in the last year to 18 months, it's been an inordinately huge amount of fiscal stimulus, right? Whether, you know, of all shapes, of all kinds, whether it's unemployment benefits, you know, child tax, monthly stipends, basically, whether it's been Build Back Better money or portions of that, infrastructure spending, the whole nine yards. Some of that fiscal money is gonna be draining out. We've actually, you know, gotten past the point of maximum fiscal stimulus, and especially if the Biden administration has political issues heading into the midterm elections, they can't get a lot of the social spending passed, and they have to show some more fiscal discipline. You're gonna drain from the economy some of that money that was, you know, freely flowing from Washington, and on top of that, you're gonna see sectors. I mean, housing demand is already curbing or falling here as a result of a, you know, relatively tame rise in mortgage rates, combined with the fact that house prices were rising much, much faster than people's wages and salaries. So there are sectors like that that are already going to slow, again, with a much smaller increase in interest rates. I mean, you're talking about 30-year mortgage rates that are in sort of that low 3%, mid 3% range. In the old days, or when I say old days, even the last cycle or two, 5%, 6% wasn't too uncommon. Could you imagine, you know, applying those kinds of mortgage rates to a housing market where a house, the average price of a house is $100,000 more than it was a few years back? I mean, that's just not going to work, right? So that's the environment that we're facing. I think I would be highly skeptical the second round of what you talked about, those 2023 hikes, is going to happen. You know, maybe we get to that 1% range or whatever, which is 3 or 4 hikes in the next 12 months. But I don't think, you know, this isn't, in my opinion, going to be anything like a Fed cycle like we had in the early 80s or, you know, the mid 90s, or even, you know, other times since the turn of the century. It just, you're not going to see that kind of constant over and over rate hikes that really push interest rates a lot higher than where they started the cycle in the first place.
So, Mike, if we take the environment that we have right now, where central banks, not just the Fed, but central banks around the world are generally going through a tightening process, you compare that to couple years ago, especially after COVID, when all the banks were easing. And in last year, we had some very interesting economic data that came out. Economies were doing and are doing quite well. Of course, you are comparing that sometimes to these washed out economies when they were all shut down. And we're seeing inflation higher. People are clearly out there spending money. Problem is, people are building up credit card debt right now. What are you expecting in terms of economic data, inflation-wise, and simply economic data coming out of the U.S. this year, as we do have an environment where the Fed is pulling away some of their easing, and people, quite frankly, they're not making the same money, and they might slow down on the demand side?
Yeah, I think the start of the year, first half of the year is pretty solid, pretty decent, as the Fed hikes aren't really going to bite yet. You're still going to have some of that fiscal stimulus money in the pipeline. You still have an economy that on some level, as we catch up on all these inventory short or whatever you call it, inventory lacking and rebuilding that we're going to have to do, things like that, sorting out the supply bottleneck for a lot of the manufacturing industry and so on. That's probably going to sustain us for the first half of the year. Things may get a little more dicey as we get into the back half of the year again, as the even talk of higher rates and some of these preliminary hikes filter into sectors like housing. You have some of that fiscal spending drying up as you head into the midterm elections, particularly if things aren't looking good in terms of polling for the Democrats. That is going to lead to some more questionable setup in the back half of the year. So I think, you know, as an investor, you still want to be playing for gains, following this rotation. You know, not aggressively taking money out of the markets. I don't think it's yet time to kind of sound the alarm on that. But we are going to have to get a little more cautious as we head into the back half of the year and see where things shake out. And again, I don't think you want to stand in front of that rotation freight train, because I don't think it's done going down the tracks. I mean, this is a thing where that, again, you know, you even go back. I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to see a tech stock, big tech stock crash like we saw in the early 2000s. But if you go back to the year 2000, you know, when the overall market kind of topped out, tech fell apart. It was down what, 40%, I think, that year. But things like utilities, REITs were up 20%. The Dow was, you know, down a very modest amount. Money, you know, you kind of saw a lot of the rotation around behind the scenes before everything started collapsing. You know, I don't think we're at that everything stage. And I think there are still ways to profit in this market. But later this year, that's when you're probably going to want to, you know, kind of reevaluate and see how things look.
Well, Mike, I love getting your thoughts on the precious metals and commodities, because with this rate hiking cycle starting, sometimes that's a tailwind for precious metals. But then there's also the inflation narrative, which wasn't so hot for gold and silver in 2021. But if there is a decrease of inflation and a rising in the rates, could that stall out any rally we expect in the precious metals? What's your thoughts on 2022?
You know, it's unfortunately this correction sideways, what trend, whatever you want to talk about, it has really lasted longer than I expected. I mean, that, you know, no, you've used sugarcoating that. It's been difficult, and the underperformance for metals and mining shares versus the market's been pretty significant. But even people like Byron Wien, that the famous guy who's been putting out strategist is putting out his top 10 surprises for the market since, I don't know, what, 40, 50 years or something. And one of his surprises is that he thinks gold's going to have a 20% rally, as, you know, even Bitcoiners realize they need to move some money from crypto back into the traditional stores of value. And also, if some of the interest rate pressure eases in the back part of the year, as the Fed says, hey, maybe, you know, we need to take a break and don't go so far, that could be a catalyst for that second half. So I don't hate it. I'm, you know, obviously kind of frustrated yet patient and still looking for some of that interest rate pressure to lift. When it does, I think we are going to see a pretty significant move for metals. It's just a matter of, you know, can you wait that long and can you just be patient, which is sort of, you know, among many investors, that's unfortunately a lost virtue. But I think if you are patient, you will be rewarded eventually. Again, especially maybe as we hit the back half of the year.
What's your assessment of the miners too? We talk a lot about gold, but what about the gold miners? They arguably had a great year in terms of having a generally higher gold price to sell their metal into. Problem was costs also escalated, and unfortunately their stocks didn't do very well. So that also hurts the miners. What's your assessment of the overall health of the largest gold mining companies?
Yeah, again, I think, you know, the cost issue has been a real problem for all kinds of heavy industry, mining, you know, anybody that is operating a capital intensive, personnel intensive type business. So it certainly hasn't been good from the cost side. And then again, when what you're able to sell at is just sort of stagnating. That doesn't lead for a very pretty profit picture. But, you know, if you want something encouraging and you look at kind of what happened in the mid 2000s with gold and silver, once the interest rate pressure eased, I mean, you know, you saw the Fed back off with its hikes in sort of that 2004, 2005 period, or in 2005, once they were done hiking, you know, gold took off. It went from something like $420 to $725 or so, if I'm looking at my chart here, over the next year and a half, 2 years. So if we get to a point where the interest rate pressure eases, the macro gets a little better. And let's say maybe even we've topped out in some of these inflationary pressures, then you've got a nice combination of cost pressure easing, as well as some demand and pricing power. So again, to me, it's not a situation where, you know, it's going to be terrible owning miners and you just got to get out because you're going to have lower prices in a bear market for the next couple of years. It's more of, okay, you know, understand you're going to be bored for a little while and you're not going to make a lot of money. But whenever that lid comes off the pressure cooker and we don't know the exact timing of it, I think you're going to be rewarded for your patience.
Mike, any thoughts on the base metals and battery metals? We saw copper, nickel, tin, lead, aluminum, iron, almost everything have a great year earlier in the year last year. Then it sold off some. A lot of that was with those inflationary forces, but some people think it's topped. Other people think that longer term, the commodities market is just getting started. What are your thoughts on the base metals and battery metals?
You know, I think, again, government policies in we want, everybody seems to want to move to a renewable future. They want to move towards battery power. They want to get away from traditional fossil fuel and so on. It's going to take an enormous amount of investment and a lot of time. So it's one of those things where I think you can almost make a lot, make a solid amount of money in the old school, energy type names. And you can also make a probably even better and nicer amount of money in exposure in terms of miners to any of the metals being used to power this sort of EV and renewable shift that we're seeing. So I think, you've got a lot of very sort of long-term, long cycle beneficial things going on there. And also, again, at the same time, pricing in traditional energy markets is not collapsing because, it's not something you can flip a switch and we all live in a renewable world in a year. It's going to take many, many years. So I kind of like both sides of that coin. And I think, as long as the economy is not cratering, which I don't think it's going to, your base metal outlook is pretty solid.
A lot of good thoughts there, Mike, and a lot of different sectors that we're talking about. If I can get you just to maybe summarize your key points and your favorite investments into this year. Obviously, this stuff changes, but what is your key narrative? Summarize it for us for 2022.
Sure. Fed's going to be putting some pressure on overvalued, hypey parts of the market. Avoid that junk. At the same time, I don't think we're going to be at the point where they crush the economy or the markets for a while. So rather than take your money out of the market, put it into the new sectors, the new leaders, the types of safe money type names, economically solid, nice yields, high Weiss ratings and so on that can do well. At the same time, patience in when it comes to precious metals. Don't be selling and dumping those to buy other things. Understand that the is sort of simmering right now and the lid's going to come off potentially in the back half of the year. So patience is there. And lastly, realize that at some point the Fed will become the market's enemy. It'll probably do what it's done every single time in the last 20, 30 years, which is go too far. And when that happens, that's when you've got to really start getting bearish, hedge, play for downside, put options, inverse ETFs, whatever. But I don't think that point is coming anytime soon. It's more something you want to watch for down the road.
All right, Mike, always great chatting with you. Thank you for kicking off this weekend show. We're going to be chatting with you as we progress through 2022. I've really enjoyed all of our conversations last year. So, hey, Mike, again, thank you for the time on this weekend show. I look forward to chatting with you throughout this year. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Take care.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.